Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And today we're going to do, actually, I know it's our second episode of the new year, but we're going to go ahead and do a wrap-up of 2014 for our, it's going to be just basically a top five, our favorite movies of 2014. And we're not really covering anything as far as books go, so, Anyway, well, what's going on, Brian?
Not much. I'm going to start work on another short film.
But other than that,
yeah.
Cool, bro.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I can't really talk about it, but...
okay.
Well, no, I mean...
you're back in porn.
Yes. In pre-production and stuff, you can't really, like, talk about things. So...
I don't know, man. I don't know. Sounds like you're mixed up with... With some bad people.
It's a snuff movie.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm not doing anything. Still pre-production on the script that I optioned years ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to do that, too.
I don't want to talk about it, Brian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I'm in a non-disclosure.
Yeah.
I think I might have actually signed one for that.
Did you? I didn't.
Oh, no, wait. I didn't sign anything for that.
Huh. But are you actually doing it?
Last I heard.
Huh. Wow. Did not know. I would think that I would know.
Yeah.
I strictly told him, do not involve you. No. Yeah, I was actually going to look up stuff as far as like new movie news and stuff like that. Check my sources. And instead, I ran across that the Doomsday Clock. The Doomsday Clock moved 3 minutes to midnight. So, you know, if you're listening to this, we had a good run.
You should start prepping right now.
Yeah.
If you haven't already.
I wonder if I would be good. Maybe that's the direction my life needs to take. Just being a doomsday prepper.
I think you'd be terrible at it.
Yeah,
you'd get like halfway through your hoard and then be like, "Meh, I'll prep later."
No, I'd be like, and then hit up like nachos and stuff.
Yeah, you'd have like 50-gallon barrels of nacho cheese.
Yeah, I'd start like just straight up eating my hoard. But one thing that I did see that was kind of interesting. Okay, you know the Duplass, Mark and Jay Duplass, they're like, they're filmmakers. They do a lot of mumblecore, and also Jay is on that new Amazon show, Transparent, and Mark is on The League, just as actors.
Uh-huh.
But they also, they were kind of like pioneers in the mumblecore movement, and they also make like just odd movies. Like really, really good movies. I enjoy them. But they made like The Puffy Chair, and they made Baghead. Mm-hmm. And they made Cyrus would probably be their biggest, most recognizable one, because it had John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill and Marissa Tomei, and it was a really good movie, even though it was very just kind of uncomfortable. But anyway, the weird thing, they signed a 4-movie deal like through with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already starting to see where everything, especially with like The Interview going to VOD and theatrical run at the same time and stuff like that, we're really starting to see like what they'd been talking about for a long time, that everything is going straight digital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally redefining like the whole Hollywood, you know, distribution.
Yeah.
And so, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I also think that we're entering into like a new golden age of TV sort of thing with all these like, like all the Netflix shows, all the Hulu shows and stuff like that, the original content, because they don't have to worry about the same like sort of advertising model and things like that. And then the fact is that like anybody can get like a Hulu channel You know, there's some crazy ones out there. I don't know if you've ever.
Like, I didn't know that.
I mean, it's. I don't know how true that is. It seems like anyone can get a Hulu channel. Let's put it that way. There's some on there that only have like one episode of one show and stuff like that. So it just seems like it's easier now for the average person to get like a show out there. You know, it's like public access, but better.
But good.
Yeah. But
yeah. Well, you know, Adam Sandler actually, he inked a deal with Netflix too.
Wow. They're getting a lot of stuff.
Jack and Jill 2.
Yes.
Netflix original.
I read somewhere that they're trying to have like 9 or something TV shows a year now, at least.
Oh, really?
Like brand new ones. They signed that deal with Marvel, and they're doing like a Luke Cage one and a Daredevil one and some other stuff too, like Netflix originals.
Yeah, that's cool.
It is cool.
To me, it kind of makes more sense for like the Mark and Jay Duplass movies to go there than like Adam Sandler, because Adam Sandler, as shitty as those movies, at least recently, have been, like, they still do well at the box office.
Yeah.
And Jay and Mark Duplass, they shoot cheap, movies make a couple million, everyone gets out ahead, but they're never big hits.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes more sense because, you know, you're not risking a $100 million movie at the box office. Risking something that makes like $3 million.
Yeah, they can benefit a lot more from it.
Yeah, and Netflix can too, because I would imagine it was cheaper to do a 4-movie deal with them than it was to do with Adam Sandler.
Probably.
But anyway, I thought that was really just kind of interesting. Other than that, it's been kind of a slow news week.
Well, speaking of the same thing, Amazon decided they're going to start making movies too. I think it's the guy who did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, not the director, but like one of the producers, is going to be the head of development or whatever. They're going to start doing their own feature films, Amazon exclusives.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. And then, there's been rumors of like HBO Go doing a subscription service like Hulu and things. You know,
I think it's all but confirmed. They've started rolling that out.
Yeah, they said they were going to do it in January. I mean, if that's the case, I'd gladly pay a couple bucks for HBO, you know?
Well, they actually had that over the summer. Uh-huh. There was certain providers did a Internet Plus package,
mm-hmm,
where you just got the Internet Plus subscription to HBO Go, and it was like $60 a month. But anyway,
I mean, if it's like Hulu Netflix equivalent, like $6 a month or so, I'd get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get it just for Game of Thrones. Like, honestly.
Yeah, I would love HBO Go. I had it for a while and I don't know. But anyway, yeah. Other than that, Mordecai came out this week.
Oh, yeah.
Mordecai.
With Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Not surprisingly, the reviews are bad.
Uh-huh.
I
kind of feel bad for Johnny Depp. Is that weird?
Well, everything he touched for so long turned to gold. It was just
And then it just, now everything just crumbles. Although he was amazing in Tusk.
I thought he was, I don't know. He bothered me in Tusk. I liked him. I thought he was funny in Tusk. But the thing is, like, it was almost like Kevin Smith didn't know how to direct him and what's his face together.
I guess that
one scene went on like 8 minutes of them talking. Remember him at Michael Parks? Like, dude, you're not Tarantino. Like, you can't do 8-minute dialogue scenes. I don't know. It bothered me, but whatever.
Yeah. Cause like there's none of those in Clerks.
No, but the thing is, they were both like playing characters, and it was bad. Yeah,
it was bad. I know what you're talking about.
Like, if the movie is like Tarantino uses the dialogue to lull the action, so Clerks really didn't have action. It was all based on the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But Tusk was an action type movie. You know, I mean, it was horror, but it was dependent on the action. That's why people were watching it. So you don't need this 8-minute scene because it's not lulling shit. It didn't work. So anyway, but that said, I liked Tusk.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, you want to just go into it, or do you want to talk more news? No,
there's one other thing that I'm kind of excited about.
Is it Bat Kid Begins?
No.
God. That's a movie.
I know. It's a documentary about Bat Kid. But anyway.
Really?
Yeah. You're about to make fun of it, aren't you? It's like a dying kid's last wish, and you're about to make fun of it.
No. I'm not talking about the documentary.
Okay.
Anyway, there is a remake into a biopic.
Yeah, I know. With
Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Julia Roberts starring in it. I did not know that it's like a Make-A-Wish type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember that happening. Holy crap. I'm reading about it right now. I just Anyway, yeah. No, man, that's crazy. I can't believe they're making that into a movie, but that was awesome.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
No, anyway. what I was going to say was, speaking of Netflix again, Z Nation is on there now, like the first season.
Yeah.
I like that show. It's really cheesy.
DJ Qualls in...
DJ Qualls is a main character.
And who's that other guy? Thomas Howell?
The dude from American Werewolf in Paris. The main character is in it.
Oh, okay. Tom Everett Scott. That's awesome. Yeah. I like that actor. He's good.
It's really good. I like it. It's really cheesy, but it reminds me of like 80s zombie movies. You know, it's a little, it's a little lighthearted, you know, compared to like Walking Dead or something like that, where anyone can die at any minute, right? This one, I don't think there's been a major character death. I've watched like the first like 5 episodes. I don't think anybody's really been hurt. half the people in the show would have been killed had it been Walking Dead so far. But no, it has like what I think is one of the, and it's probably been done before, but like to me, one of the coolest like plots for a zombie movie is that there's a guy who's immune to it and they're trying to get him to like the CDC to make a cure. And it's like, I can't think of any off the top of my head that had like a guy that was immune to zombie bites, but I think that's a neat idea. That's it.
They've made that. I mean, they've used that.
I'm sure they have. I mean, cause there's a lot of other stuff in there that's, you know, kind of derivative, but it's fun. You know, it's worth a shot.
Yeah,
it's a sci-fi original.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to check it out as soon as I finally get caught up on Justified, which season 5 just hit Amazon Prime for free. So excited about that! And season 6 just started airing. So if I knock them out this weekend, I get to watch new episodes Monday. So anyway, you got anything else?
No, I think that's it. I think.
Okay. Well, then, you want to just dive straight in and have it one long take, or you want to take a break?
I don't care, honestly.
One long take. Here we go. All right, your top 5 movies of the year.
Okay, we're just going to list them and then be done, right?
Yeah, just list them, and this was a 12-minute episode. Good job,
guys. Good job, everybody.
Good job, both. Yeah, so really, are you going to do yours in any particular order or not? Are you going to have honorable mentions? Maybe we should have taken a break and discussed all this, but anyway.
I didn't really think about honorable mentions. I'm sure there were some will come to me. No, they're not really in any particular order besides maybe the top one. I approached it a little weirdly because I don't follow directions very well on this podcast, apparently. But I kind of picked like a representative from a few different genres.
You know? So, well, mine's not. I mean, there's some shit. I guess they're mostly horror. But yeah, I didn't. I actually just picked the movies that I like the most this year.
Exactly. So. Like, I don't think that these are in any way the best movies of the year. but they're ones
I liked. No, mine are just my personal top five of the year.
Yeah, I've got like an action movie and a comedy and a horror and like sci-fi. All right,
well, you go ahead and start with your top with your number five.
I'm gonna get this one out of the way. Whenever we were eating lunch yesterday, you mentioned this one and I was like, that's not on my list. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, that's totally on my list. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. What'd you like about it?
Well, I mean, above anything else, it was fun. You know, it was a big budget, like superhero movie, but it didn't try to be gritty and dark. You know, it was fun. It was entertaining. The characters were good. Everyone had a good character moment. They all seemed, you know, relatively fleshed out. You know, the action was good. The special effects were good. Like, it was just a well-made, solid film. You know, I mean, it's a popcorn flick. I mean, there's not like, you know, tons of gravitas or subplot or anything like that in there, but it's all done really well. And it was super entertaining. I don't know.
Well, cool. Yeah. I wish I really can't chime in with a whole lot other than the fact that I think that it'll help James Gunn's career.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially since they're already doing
I still
two.
Haven't watched it and I'm interested in seeing it. I'm just tired of comic book movies.
I mean, but honestly, if you didn't know it was a comic book movie, it wouldn't feel like one. It feels like, actually kind of a throwback to 80s sci-fi movies when everybody was kind of jumping on the bandwagon of the success of Star Wars and making like random human gets lost in space movies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It had that feel more
to me,
than
it honestly kind of looked like Serenity.
Yeah, kind of. I can see that.
Serenity's neater stuff.
With what?
With neater stuff happening. Yeah. Although, you have to take that with a grain of salt, too, because I haven't watched Serenity.
Serenity feels more like a Western.
Yeah. Well, you know, I watched only the first episode of Firefly, and I liked it, but I was like, I just never watched it again. I liked it okay.
There's only, like, six episodes.
I thought it was, like, 13 or something.
I don't remember. It's not very much. It's like
it was one season.
Yeah, well, no, it was, like, half a season for back then. So it was only like 13 episodes, yeah, something like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm definitely going to end up watching that because I picked up Serenity on Blu-ray for $2. And
so you got to get caught up.
I asked a friend of mine that's like a big fan, and so I was like, do I need to watch Firefly to appreciate it? And he's like, yeah, you definitely have to.
You do. Yeah. Because, I mean, there's some stuff that happens in there in Serenity that you're not going to care about unless you have some backstory.
Well, what I think is odd though, is that show was one of the biggest cult hits ever, but it was a giant bomb as far as ratings. Yet they made a big budget movie like that's contingent on watching the show.
Well, they made a big budget movie. Well, no, I mean, you can watch the show and you can watch the movie, but you're going to have a better time if you've watched the show.
Okay.
And I think that movie was just made as fan service because everybody was like up in arms that it got canceled. But see, nowadays, if it would have had like a Netflix release or something like that, I bet you anything it would have a second season.
I'm sure.
Definitely.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump into my
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Number five for me was 22 Jump Street.
Oh, that's on my list too.
Oh, is it? Well, crap.
Well, no. This is why, you know, we should talk to each other before we do this. But
No. Just bump it to next on your list, and we'll discuss it together.
Okay, go for it.
I will go ahead and alternate for my only. I will go to my only honorable mention instead, and I'll bump that to my number five. The Lego Movie. Such a good movie.
You know,
did you watch it?
I still have not seen it, but everyone tells me I need to watch it.
It's really good. Like, it's not, I don't know. It's not in canon at all with any of the referenced characters, you know?
Yeah. Because they're Legos.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fun. It's just more than anything. I think I laughed. It wasn't mean humor or anything like that. It was just fun humor. Yeah. And unlike movies like Shrek or anything like that, it didn't have these subtle, you know, dirty humor in there.
Nothing for the parents, quote unquote.
Yeah, it was for the parents because they made a good movie, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I really, really like the Lego movie. I don't own it. I don't know if I'll ever buy it. And that's why it was in my honorable mentions, because I really don't know. I don't really know if I'll watch it again, but I had a great time watching it. Like, it was fun, and I absolutely loved it. And then that stupid song will get stuck in your head. You've heard that, right? Everything is awesome.
Yeah. watched some making of it, you know, like some behind the scenes things. Because they did like 95-97% of it was all Lego stop motion, right?
Yeah.
And it was just some things were CGI whenever it needed to be. But like, I watched them doing, like, there was something like where something fell in water, right? Uh-huh. And it made like a splash of bricks, and it's like meticulously placing like each little brick and everything. But it's kind of impressive. You know, as far as the level of stop motion, but the attention to detail, I think, is what got me. Cause there's like a spaceman character or something like that, that has the astronaut, like, you know, the Lego astronaut guy, and like his helmet is cracked in the same place that every single Lego astronaut helmet cracked ever.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, that's good attention to detail. That's it. Well, but yeah, I never saw it, but I wanted to, so maybe I'll watch it.
You'll enjoy it. I mean, again, it was a honorable mention just because I was like, oh yeah, that came out this year.
Yeah.
I liked it, but it wasn't, you know, 22 Jump Street's my real number five. So we'll jump straight into that.
Let's talk about 22 Jump Street.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was very, it took everything from sequels from movies and kind of turned it on its ear.
Yeah. I think it was like, and I don't know. I think it was the perfect comedy sequel. that's big words.
It was great because, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that's big words, but I think it's true. Because it's like, you know, it kept basically lampshading the fact that it was the exact same movie.
And, you know, even the end credits, do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, with all the extra sequels.
Yes. Oh my God. Now, that said, I think if they actually do that, you know, the crossover with Men in Black, they've jumped the shark and shouldn't do that.
I'll watch it.
They're talking about it.
Oh, I'd totally watch it.
Oh, I'd watch it, but I don't think it'd be good.
I don't think there's enough movie crossovers nowadays. Like, okay, now it's different in like the Avengers, you know, Marvel world or whatever, because that's what it was meant to do. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't see things like, you know, Call of the Wild 2, White Fang 3 anymore. You know?
I don't think that was really a thing.
That happened. That was, in the previews. But you know what I mean? It's like, you don't see random, like, two movies coming together for no reason anymore.
You didn't really ever. I mean, I guess you sort of did.
No, it happened. I mean, there was like, you know,
Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
I was about to say like that and Laurel and Hardy movies and stuff. But you know, there would
Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah. See, stuff like that. You know, the classics.
But anyway, back to the movie at hand. I intentionally avoided it in the theater because
Really?
I didn't think that it looked good, and I was a huge fan of the first one. And I was like, shit. Should have just left it as it is. Nope. It was great. It was totally awesome. It made me laugh my ass off.
I think I saw it like opening day.
I think the interview was just as funny, but not anywhere near as good of a movie. But the first half of the interview was some of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. Second half, not really that great. But anyway, but yeah, do you want to say anything more about it?
No, I mean, like, I think if, I don't know, if you haven't watched it like that, because I mean, there is some people who just avoid sequels altogether, you know, just on principle?
Well, I think that movie also, I know quite a few people that won't watch 21 Jump Street, period. Like, any of them, because they're just like, that's stupid. I don't watch remakes of 80, you know, I don't watch all these remakes.
God, it was so good,
but it's
though.
Not like at all a remake. Like,
no, it's just, it's just the fact that they're, you know, two adults going undercover in high school.
They loosely had the same concept. But, I mean, they had the same concept, but very, very loose as far as the application of it. What I would have done, you know how at the end of the first one, how they blew Johnny Depp's cover that he had for all these years?
Yeah.
I would have liked to see them do that in the second one. Like, blow someone else from the show's cover. Like, oh, come on. That was the only thing that I thought would have been funny again, but...
I just think it's hilarious, like the scene where they're talking to the captain and they're like, didn't this exactly happen before? You know, they're like this seems like it's the exact same thing. No, it's different. He's like, are you sure? Yeah, I don't know. That was a great movie. I think it was like the perfect comedy sequel. So yeah.
All right. So I guess it's back to me.
Sure.
Unless you want to go.
No,
that'll put you on three and that'd put me on four. So, all right. My number four is The Sacrament.
Oh, I totally forgot that came out in 2014.
That movie. And I don't know. It was one of, I can't recommend it to people because it's so just like, oh my God, like very bleak. But as far as just like sticking with you,
I mean, if you're a fan of the Jonestown murders.
No, I mean, it just stuck with me. Like, I really, really totally enjoyed it. I thought even for, you know, found footage or you know, faux documentary.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And that concept is something, or just that frame is something that has been played out so much that I actively avoid, you know, found footage and all that stuff. But it was so, so good. And so I really, really wanted to see it. One, because Ty West did it. And then after I saw it, I was just like, holy crap, Ty West is going in totally new directions. Like, everything about it was really, really well done and very lifelike. And the fact that, I forget the guy who played Father's name, Gene Jones or something.
Yeah, something like that. I think it was Gene Jones.
Huh?
I think it was Gene Jones.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was.
He came out of nowhere. I'd never seen him really. If I've seen him in movies, I haven't paid any attention.
I looked down his list, like on IMDb, and he's played, like, you know, the town sheriff in movies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just stole the movie. And I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was a great movie. So anyway, The Sacrament, don't watch it if you're weak of heart.
No, going back to the main character guy, like that interview scene, you know, whenever he was actually interviewing him in front of the congregation, I was like,
that's the heart of the movie.
I know. I was like, I can get behind this guy. Like, he was like that charismatic, you know. It's like,
yeah, you were ready to join up.
I was like, yeah, I'm down with this. No, it was a good movie. Super dark. But
oh man, I just found out one of my movies was actually from 2013.
Which one?
It's one further up my list. In fact, it was number two or three.
It was my number one movie.
It was almost the top three might all be tied for each other, but. Yeah, well, I'm still going to use it. It came out, it had a limited run in 2013, and 2014 it just rolled out bigger, so whatever.
Did you get it on technicality?
Yeah, kind of how they do all the Oscars, you know? Like, American Sniper is up against stuff from last year.
Yeah. Well, I think they're on, like a schedule similar to, like, Taxes.
Yeah. You know, yeah, well, see, like, I'll just follow that same schedule.
Okay, now you're just, you know...
I'm manipulating whatever so that it fits my list.
I don't think that our self-imposed rules really need, you know, we
much
made
justification rules, like, yeah, exactly. If we break it.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm going to go with my next one. What is this? This is like my third one. I'm going to go with another kind of sci-fi action movie, but one that's, you know, near and dear to my heart. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm going to go with that. Because I'm a huge Apes fan from the old days, right? But yeah, it's a big CGI movie again, you know? But it was extremely well done. Again, it was super lifelike. The movie actually made me feel for a monkey. You know what I mean? What's his face? Andy Serkis did such a good job as an ape that it was like, I don't know. I thought he did an amazing acting job, and there was a lot of like pathos and things to his character. And then also, what's his face is in it? Gary Oldman.
Who? Oh yeah.
I'm a huge Gary Oldman fan too, but I don't know. I think it was, there was some action scenes, but there was actually a lot of monkey character development, you know, and it's like, which is interesting, but
I always look for monkey character development.
Yeah. In my movies. Yeah, definitely.
They really didn't allow monkey shines to develop, you know, didn't allow the room to develop the character.
No, that was more like a monksploitation film.
Yes.
No, I mean, I think it's good. I mean, it was an action movie, obviously. It's got sort of a sci-fi bent to it, even though nothing really sci-fi actually came up in the movie. You know, the other ones, there was dealings with time travel and dealings with stuff like that and possibly alternate dimensions. This had none of that. It was just basically sort of like more like a war movie more than anything else. You know, the humans were under siege, monkeys fought. Yeah, I keep calling them monkeys, but they're apes. Sorry, that's derogatory. I don't know, but you don't really have much to add because I don't think you saw this one either.
No, I didn't see it, so I'm just listening.
But yeah, I mean, I think it was a really good job. I think it was as close to realistic talking bipedal apes as you're going to get, if that's your thing.
Well, that's not, but no, I want to see it. I enjoyed the one previous,
with James Franco.
James Franco
one. That's my only complaint, that James Franco wasn't in this one.
Yeah.
He was in archive footage.
Was he?
Yeah. Huh. Caesar goes back to his house, and watches his movie camera.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. It would have been better if he went into James Franco, the actor's house, and looked through all his whatever weird shit he's hiding. But
anyway, I bet there was some weird shit in there.
Yeah. Okay. My number three. I'm really happy that I found out that it was from 2013, so I can kick it off and replace it with another one that deserved to be on this. Anyway, it was originally going to be Coherence, but you know what? We wanted to cover that on the show, didn't we?
I don't know. We've wanted to cover, we'll cover a lot that of things. Next.
Yeah, we talk a lot and rarely carry it out, like carry out any action.
Yep.
We must be in, 40 bands that never happened. So, anyway. But, yeah, so really, we'll kick that off the list, and that way we can talk about it in depth. Because one, I know you'll love that movie anyway, but all right. So the real number three, was Boyhood.
Okay.
Richard Linklater's Boyhood. It was really, really like, you know, since I watched it, I've had a few people talk to me about it and they've asked me what it's about. And really it's not about anything.
Boyhood. Like,
that's why it's probably called Boyhood. Like, it's just about his life. And there's nothing mean-spirited about it. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing. It would have been easy to exploit the story, you know, and glamorize a lot of the bad stuff that you do. But even whenever he does, like, smoke pot or something like that, it's never, like, judgmental It's never like looked at as like a bad thing. It's just this kid's journey. And I thought, one, it was the ballsiest approach in filmmaking I've seen in a long time, just because they started when the kid was, what, like 5?
Something like
6,
that.
7? And then brought it all the way up 10, 12 years. Just shot a little bit. And so you watch all these people age. And it was really just like one of the coolest experiments in filmmaking I've seen. And two, like an awesome narrative and with characters you really, really, I don't know if you like all of them, but you really, really felt for, they all felt real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Patricia Arquette, I think she's up for awards on it as far as like best supporting actress or something. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know what award she's up for, but she was good, but I didn't really like her character that much.
Mm-hmm.
I felt for her, but she was very good in the movie. The kid was great because there was no moments in this movie where he felt like a crappy child actor.
Okay.
Like he was, like it was almost like you're watching what actually happened, you know, mm-hmm. almost like documentary type style, because it would have been very, very easy for him to have screwed up or gone off script or whatever at some of these younger ages with some of the topics that they're dealing with. There's an abuse thread line for a little bit in it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so bad acting would have compromised the movie, and he kept it on point. The sister was great in it. Like the entire movie was just awesome. And I think Boyhood, it's kind of, I've heard from people that it's already annoying people talking about it, but there's a reason people are talking about it.
You know?
It's a really, really good movie. I would highly, highly suggest anyone watch it. And I do hope they actually end up overturning the R rating for a PG-13, because I think that it's something that kids, not that kids can't, you know, generally kids don't care if it's R or not, they'll watch whatever. But, you know, I do think that it, more than anything, it's a parent barrier from showing it to children. And I don't think that kids shouldn't see this movie. It's really, really good. And it's probably more relevant to a kid than it is an adult. So anyway, I really, really liked it. Boyhood's my number 3.
Boyhood. Yeah. No, I haven't seen it. I've heard good things, but I've heard a lot of things about it. I mean, like, you know, it's just, like you said, it's everywhere. You know, it's just everybody's talking about it.
But yeah,
I know. So maybe I'll check it out. The end.
Cool.
Okay, so my turn again?
Yeah.
Okay, so my representative from the horror genre, okay? A little underlooked gem, Oculus.
Really? That makes your top 5?
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I mean, and especially like, I also realized whenever I was doing this list that I don't think I saw very many movies last year. No, but at least ones that came out that year. But no, I think it was good. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, jump scary. I mean, there was a couple points where it was, but it was generally like just about the overall theme of it. You know, it's like you never really knew what was going on, you know, and it was like unreliable narrator to the max, you know, because even things that you saw, like that you saw them do, you know,
didn't happen.
And it's just like, so there was just this error in the movie where it was like, you know, anything that you're watching could be twisted on its head and you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so it was sort of like, you know, putting yourself in their shoes, even because they were going through the same thing. And then it got to the end where it was like, you didn't really know, like, if they were hallucinating, if there was like, you know, what was going on at all. And then it had a like terrible ending. No, I mean, like, not terrible as in like it was badly done, but like terrible as in the good guys didn't win. And I'm kind of a sucker for those kind of endings.
Which is most horror movies.
Yeah, I know. But then also like Requiem for a Dream as the most downer ending I can think of.
I forget the very end of that.
It's probably a better if you do.
Oh, yeah. Just everything shitty yeah. happened to all of them.
Like one of them lost an arm. Yeah. Anyway, no, I just think it was well done. I mean, it was a bottle episode. I mean, they were in like three rooms the whole movie, and it was like, what, five actors? You know what I mean?
For the most part, yeah.
But I mean, there were some genuinely creepy parts, to me at least.
Yeah, no, I really liked it. I watched it again. It didn't make it on top five, but
I think it was the best WWE movie I've ever seen.
Easily the best WWE movie. It was, I really, really liked it. And I showed it to my wife recently and she liked it as well. And I don't know, it, you know, now that it's streaming, hell, I'll probably watch it again. But yeah, that's a good choice. It's just something I wouldn't think of, and definitely not for my top five. Not for my pristine top five.
Yeah.
Which includes shining gems like my number two.
What's your number?
Cheap Thrills. Cheap Thrills was one of the most just punk rock type DIY energy I've seen in a movie in a long time. Did you watch it?
I did not. We started to watch it over at your house one day.
Oh, really? And then we decided not to.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. I don't know if it deserves to be on a prestigious list. Not that list is prestigious, but what I'm saying
is... not a prestigious B-movies and e-books list.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, it's definite exploitation film. And generally that kind of stuff doesn't make a big splash. It makes an impression, but it doesn't, you know, keep a big splash or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's pure cinema. Like, it's just entertaining, and then you turn it off and you forget about it. But this one stuck with me, and I loved it. And I think a lot of it, Trent Haga wrote it. I'm a huge Trent Haga fan as far as the movies that he's written. His acting, I mean, that's hit or miss, because he'll act in anything. But...
Brother's gotta eat.
I don't know. Like, do it.
I said a brother's gotta eat.
Pretty much, but yeah. Like, did you ever watch Dead Girl?
No.
Where they find the zombie chick, and it ends up just turning darker and darker.
No.
It was like a huge exploitation hit from a few years back. Anyway, he wrote that as well, and that's a good. Oh man, you want to watch an uncomfortable movie? That's a really good uncomfortable movie. But this one is, you know, there's nothing supernatural about it. It's two down and out buddies, and they run into, I forget his name, Dave Koechner? What?
Just two down and out buddies.
I mean, one of them loses his job, and then the other one's like just a guy that doesn't make a lot of money. He beats people up to so that they'll collect for a loan shark. Like, he collects for a loan shark.
That seems like an interesting job.
Yeah. Well, the other guy, you know, who loses his job, he's like, you know, do you think I'd be good at that? He's like, I had to break a guy's arm for $50 once. He's like, no. So anyway, but no, it's really, really good. So basically they run into a guy.
It is Dave Koechner, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's Dave.
Well, you said, is it Dave Koechner? Like,
I couldn't remember if it was Dan or Dave, but yeah.
I think it's Dave.
Yeah. The guy from Anchorman.
Yeah.
Great character actor. And he's playing against type in this, and he's brutal. Totally brutal. And basically they're just pitting these lifelong friends against each other for money. And that's really all it is, you know? The first one to take a shot, $50. First one to do this until it just escalates into a point where you're like, oh, my God, I'm watching this. This is crazy. And it was, I think it only had like a $25,000 or $50,000 budget. It was super low and had a great cast. It looked like $1 million. Like it looked amazing. And I couldn't have liked it more. It was awesome. In fact, I keep going over and over whether or not that should have been my number one, because I've probably seen this movie 10 times yet and by now. And I've seen my number one once in the theater, and I don't know if I'll watch it again. It just made an impression. Cheap Thrills is a movie that I will recommend to anyone. But again, like The Sacrament, it's not going to appeal to everyone because it does go dark. And when it goes dark, it goes dark.
Yeah.
So anyway, I enjoyed it. Cheap Thrills is my number two.
Okay, cool.
So your number one.
My number one. It's probably a bit cliche and exactly what you would think I would pick. I'm going to go with Interstellar.
Okay.
Like, all the other ones were kind of in a, you know, give it or take it. It could be 5, it could be 4, you know, whatever number it wanted. But I think Interstellar would be number one no matter what. I don't know, because you haven't seen that one either, have you?
No, and in fact, you're the only person I know that's seen it.
Huh. But I don't know. I was pumped for that since the first preview I saw, where it was just like Matthew McConaughey looking at a cornfield, or somebody, it wasn't even Matthew McConaughey, it was the daughter looking at a cornfield and a rocket went up, and it was it. And it just said Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm so down.
All I remember from the preview was Matt Damon.
He was in one of the previews?
No, I'm kidding. He was like the hidden cameo.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. But, you know, it's
I just want to see you go, what?
Yeah, because I was like, did I miss that one? Because that took me by surprise. But it was, you know, Christopher Nolan, which I'm a huge fan of. I'll go ahead. I'll go ahead and say that. Sorry, technical difficulties. But it was a Christopher Nolan movie. I am a huge fan of him. Matthew McConaughey came off less of a like surfer than you would expect, you know, or like not surfer, but like,
hey man,
yeah,
I'm an astronaut. This is the worst Matthew McConaughey impression ever. Hey guys, I'm Matthew McConaughey.
That one wasn't as bad.
But I'm an astronaut too. Yeah, I can't do the word astronaut.
That's a hard word to McConaughey. No, I mean, it had Matthew McConaughey did a really good job in it. Michael Caine.
You know, he's the same age as Chuck Norris.
Huh.
Isn't that bizarre?
That is bizarre. He did not age as well.
Norris looks a lot better.
C. Norris? Oh man. No, I mean, it was visually like really amazing. I didn't see it in IMAX, but I saw it in, you know, the theater or whatever. And it's like the visuals were crazy. Like it actually felt like you were in space. For some reason, the soundtrack had the most organ in it I've ever heard. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know why it would be like really, really soft stuff. And then like they'd be in space and it'd just be like, like with the loudest organ you've ever heard. But anyway,
when like nothing's happening.
Yeah, exactly. But somehow it worked. All the acting was really, really good. There was parts that genuinely like made you know, super sad suit for the characters and everything. Cause they're going off on this journey, you know, to go through this black hole and find a new place for humans to live. Right. Mm. And, you know, and it took them 2 years just to get to the black hole because it's in by Jupiter. And then like they go down to this planet that's really close to the wormhole. Sorry. They go down to this planet that's really close to a black hole. And so there's like time dilation and stuff. And so they're on the ground for what feels like an hour or two. and it really passes like 30 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't, whatever, you don't care.
No one's seen it.
But no, so there's like this part where he's going back and he's looking at like the letters, you know, the video letters that like his family has given him over those past like 20 years or whatever it is, 20, 30 years. And it's just like, it's just heart wrenching, you know? And it's just the fact that they're doing this to save humanity. Right. And they just wasted, you know, 2 decades.
So much time.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, think about all the people on Earth that died of starvation and stuff like that because they wasted time. And it's just like,
well, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, like, it's just
spoiling
like,
it.
Yeah. I don't care. No, that's like, that's okay. It's almost I think it's a 3-hour movie almost. That happens in like the first hour. I mean, it's not like the main part of the movie or anything. But, you know, it's just like, pardon the pun, but there's so much gravity to it. Anyway, so I could see people getting pissed off at the end. Because it went really like weird.
Like the earth is in trouble. You must save it. Like preachy?
No. Like it went really weird. Like fourth dimensional beings weird and stuff like that. Spoiler alert. But, but
was Matt Damon one of them?
No. No, he was not. But anyway, Interstellar. Sci-fi, dare I say masterpiece?
No, it was the douchiest thing.
I know. So I couldn't even hold a straight face. But no, it was really, really good.
It was visually arresting, very thought provoking. Dare I say masterpiece?
But if I was a little bit more pretentious, I could have actually said all those things for it and been like, because it was really, really. You know, visuals were great. The acting was great. Good stuff. So,
all right.
Sci-fi movie.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I plan on checking it out. Especially now, I can fast forward the first hour.
Yeah, exactly. You just don't even care anymore.
You know what sucks? I know that if I had seen Nightcrawler, it would have been. Oh, on this
I know.
List.
Everybody's talking about that movie.
Yeah, I know. Like, it looks like it plays right into everything I love. And I haven't watched it, and I want to because I know it would have made this list. Yeah. But as it is, my number one is Gone Girl.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it. It was another one of these movies. You know, I'm thinking
it
that
it was
I'm,
another movie.
No, it was another one of these movies. Like when we left the theater, I knew I liked it, but I couldn't decide whether I liked the end. I think the end pissed a lot of people off, but it was another one. You know how last week we were talking about like the Blair Witch and paranormal movies, how you're like, well, crap. And then when you get home later, like you're thinking about it and it's kind of freaky, you know? Uh-huh. And so anyway, it's another one like that. Like it was very, unlike those where, you know, they were minimal and stuff, this was very, very thought-provoking the entire time. I won't say what happens, but halfway through, it kind of flips. The whole story flips. And it's really, really good. Really, really good. I wish I had read the book. I had the book for like a year sitting on it. And I couldn't get through, like, it was like page 20, and it's like the mechanical hand of the clock struck 9, 9, 9. Like, it just kept, like, I hated the way this one paragraph was written, and I was like, you know, I can't do it, because it literally was like 3 paragraphs to say 9 o'clock, because it just kept doing it different.
It was really important. No, you knew it was 9 o'clock.
I guess. But yeah, it's really just like, you know, the whole first half of the movie, you're like, did Ben Affleck do it? Did he not? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just, Ben Affleck was great in it. The woman that played the wife was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Like, I liked that movie so, so much. And it wasn't quite horror, and it wasn't quite just straightforward drama. It wasn't quite a thriller. Like, I would say that because it's up for awards and stuff, it's a thriller, you know, because they generally don't ever lend credence, even whenever, like, Silence of the Lambs was up for Oscars. It was a thriller versus horror, you know. And so, anyway, I don't know. I mean, and plus, there's nothing supernatural or anything about this, but it definitely had horrific elements. Had a great, great performances by Neil Patrick Harris and Tyler Perry.
What?
And
I feel like I really like Tyler Perry when he's not in Madea movies. When he just, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I guess, yeah.
I mean, like, it was in Star Wars or Star Trek. Ooh, that could get me some hate mail.
It's cool. No one listens.
Yeah, I know. Peaches might send us some hate mail.
That could get me from some hate mail from Chris.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like he does really good jobs when he's not in a fat lady suit.
He was good in this. He was just a straightforward lawyer.
Yeah.
And the entire movie, I...
He wasn't a Southern lawyer?
No. He was like, hello?
No. Just, yeah, okay, anyway, go on. Tyler Perry.
Didn't she say hello?
Oh, yeah. No, I was talking about, you know, like, now I'm just a bad...
Oh, no, it's Hallelujah, right?
I don't know. I've never seen any of them. I can't sit through, sure, like, previews of them. They're terrible.
Whatever, you love... Tyler Perry's House of Pain.
I've never seen that either.
I haven't either. Anyway.
It doesn't look good, though.
I did watch Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Mm-hmm. That was the only one I've seen. It wasn't as bad as people say.
we should review it.
but yeah, anyway, Gone Girl was just good. And, you know, I think David Fincher, I don't know if this is his best movie. It's definitely not my favorite of his. But it's really, really good. But I think whenever he teamed up with Trent Reznor and who's the other guy, Atticus Ross, doing the music,
or Atticus,
I think that
is it Ross? Yeah,
Atticus Finch is from
a band, right? Oh no, wait, that's like
he's from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah,
and they were a band.
We were both right.
But yeah, Atticus Ross, like, you know, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, they've added like a lot to those movies that wouldn't have been there otherwise, like just a whole different feeling. And even though I didn't watch The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that's actually his only movie I think I haven't seen that I know of. I've only seen Alien 3 once though. But anyway,
God. Wait, I was thinking
it's a David Fincher film.
Yeah, I was thinking Alien, the fourth one. What was the fourth one called?
Resurrection.
The one that Joss Whedon wrote.
Yeah, that's a crap movie.
Anyway,
wait, maybe he directed that one. I don't know which one he directed, but anyway, whatever.
Aliens 3 was in like the '80s.
No one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was in fourth grade, third grade.
What?
It was like 93.
That's pretty much the '80s.
We're still in the '90s, right, Brian?
No, we're in the 1000s.
Ah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really, really liked it. And I think that, you know, him adding them as the music, it really adds to and plays into his style quite a bit. So anyway, Gone Girl, highly recommend. Great movie. And that's actually about it. Do you have anything to add?
You're right. He did do the third one.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The fourth one was better than the third one. No. Never mind. No, hold on. No. They're about neck and neck.
The fourth one was the one that had like Winona Ryder and the half-human alien baby that the queen gave birth to, live birth to, and it had a nose, and it was weird.
Yeah, I don't know. They're all... Other than the first two, every Alien movie, not really my favorite
now,
thing.
Now, what about Alien versus Predator?
Those are horrible movies. I don't care what anyone says. Like, absolutely horrible. I do not like them.
I think I own both of them.
Did you like them?
No. I like the idea behind them. Maybe I watch them and then hope they're better.
I heard that the books were really good.
Like the comics?
Yes. And then the novelizations of the comics, but it's the same storyline.
Yeah. I've read some of the Dark Horse comics, like the old ones. They were good.
Yeah. That's what I've heard, that those are really good.
And then one of my favorite ones whenever I was little was the Batman versus Predator one. That one was so good.
I don't remember that one.
It was good.
You know what Batman I really liked was Red Rain.
The vampire one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So that's our B-movies, e-books, and Batman podcast. I'm down if you want to change it to that.
Okay.
No, so I don't know. That was our year in review.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that.
Doesn't seem like any of the listeners are very happy about it.
Well,
just start turning on an audience that's not even there.
Okay, so what are we going to do next time?
You want to do Coherence?
Sure.
Oh. No. I hit my mic on accident.
Yeah, we can do that.
Shit, again. Yeah, what do you want to do? You want to do Coherence? Oh, do you want to read The Summer I Died for next time?
Yeah.
You like it, sort of.
Well, no, I'll give it a shot. Summer I Died. Summer I Died and Coherence. We should say it right now on the record so we actually have to do it.
All right, and let's lock down 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Okay, it's like we're professionals now or something.
Boom.
Except for I don't think that because
we've had this thing for 6 months and we're only on episode 12.
That's two a month.
Or 13. Yeah, I guess. But October we did four of them.
Well, yeah, we had to catch up. But then it was like the holidays and stuff.
I guess.
Yeah. Whatever. We're back on track now. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Convergence, Summer I Died. If the listeners want to follow
Coherence.
Coherence, whatever.
Please don't watch Divergent.
Yeah. No, I said Convergence, which is the sequel to Divergent. Anyway, Coherence, Summer I Died. If anybody wants to listen along or to watch along.
Or you can call us up and participate.
Call us up.
Follow us on Twitter at B, what is it, BNE5?
Yeah.
Shit.
No, we can do that. And then if anybody wants to send their comments and anything, they can email us, right? What's the...
Yeah, bmoviesandebooks@gmail.com.
Yeah. If they have any thoughts about... We're reaching out.
Yeah. Well, all right. That's it. Got anything to add?
No. I think we're good.
All right. I'll talk to y'all later. All right. No future.